Learn from parenting and career experts.
There is no such thing as perfect parenting.
Raising yourself up is important. You're not just raising your child.
Yes.
You and your wife are also raising your own selves as parents now.
Most parents were concerned that once the child grows up, will that child respect them anymore?
Children will learn from how you behave rather than what you teach them.
Welcome to Career Uninterrupted Podcast, brought to you by Off Experiences, production partner Done For You Podcasts.
You said all of these things, and in today's day, right, I think there is also a lot of information that you get on social media, right? So if you don't use a particular kind of a white noise putting your child to sleep, your child will not sleep. If the child doesn't sleep next to you at night, then the child will develop trust issues later. And you hear a lot of these different things, right? And at the same time, you do come with your own set of childhood challenges, right? Like what you've seen your parents do. So you start by saying, ye toh main nahi karungi. You know, I will not do what my parents did, okay? But I don't know what to do. So then you lean on what's available on social media, you pick a lot of that information, and you make a mix and mash of it, because some of it is still coming through DNA, some of it is still coming through social media, and you're like, made one khichdi out of that. How do you deal with some of these things, and how do you figure out, because not everyone's aware of what is right for me and what's the right parenting style for me. I think it starts with that. But how do you deal with all of this information overload?
Let me tell you that the answer which I'm going to give you right now is actually coming out from the long question you asked. It's right inside the answer. The answer is right there in the question. So if you notice one thing, in the entire question you framed, you were talking about all the ways and this and that and this and that. You know, one thing was completely missing in the entire narration. One thing, the child. And this is a question I've asked a lot of people. So for example, I told them that if your child wasn't born in your house and Vanya, my daughter, was born, would you have changed your parenting? Would your parenting still come from, my mom said this, this I will do, this will I not do, this guy is saying this, I believe in that. Whatever you just narrated, you will still do exactly the same with Vanya. Think. One child, you did exactly the same. Second child, you did exactly the same. The children are different. What is missing in your entire narration is the child. What does the child need? And when I don't know, then I will bank on something. So whatever people are saying on the internet, the people are saying, touch them, sleep with them, do this, feed them like this, don't feed them like this, are, I won't say 100%, because there would be people who are thinking about it, but most of these advices are coming from my personal experience. I did this with my child, he started eating. I did this with my child, he's very connected. I didn't do this, he's not connected. But that's your child, not others. And every human being, in their thoughts, in their feelings, in their taste, you name it, are different. Something which works for me and my child may not work at all between you and your child. And if you start reading my article saying, this is Sushant Ditton's son, I will do that because he's a parent coach, I would say you will fail and it will be a disaster. Please don't photocopy. It's not possible. The whole game is about understanding the child. And once you understand the child, it's simple. It's not about you.
But how do you understand a child who's like very young, right? Like a 10-month-old or a 1 year. I mean, I would say a 2-year-old still starts expressing with words and with.
The first 2 years, leave it. First 2 years is purely, if you really ask me, all medical. All health-based, all getting them to make sure that they've done their milestones, the voice is there, they're talking, they're walking, the narration is there. Because you're giving vaccinations, you're making sure they're protected, you're cleaning them up, you're feeding them up. Because first 2 years is purely about, if you really ask me, survival. That's the word. People may not like that word. But a human, I think the human child is the only offspring which, if not taken care of in first 2 years, will die. The human being starts to even walk after a year. they have to be taken care of. You have to be cleaned up. A dog doesn't need to be cleaned up.
Yeah. I mean, they take a long time to actually get to a
giraffe's child is born and they start running in a few minutes. They have to because they'll be caught and eaten up. So they need to be taken care of in that sense. Human beings have to be taken care of in that sense. Otherwise, they'll die. So first 2 years is purely survival. Do that. Don't worry about anything else. At least make sure you're not shouting, you're not fighting, you're not hitting a small child to a road. Just take care of those things. That's it. Plus, try and make sure that people, there's no toxicity around. And there's toxicity around, then obviously getting back to 2 year old.
So explain this, sorry, a little. What do you mean by toxicity around?
Toxicity around is that, for example, if in the family there's fighting happening. So for example, a child is born in Afghanistan. A child is born in Israel right now. Or a child is born in Palestine right now. That's toxicity. They'll get in. Whether you like it or not, they're breathing it. So I'm talking about that. So there is fights happening, abusing happening, beating up happening between parents or that stuff. The mind is listening to it. Okay. So that will automatically go. I'm talking about that kind of toxicity. The first 2 years, just take care of that if you can. Even if you can't, the nurturing later can actually undo it also. Beyond two and a half, when a child has started walking, talking. So I'll take an example to explain this, okay? I think you took an example right at the start. Khilana hai, toh maar ke khila do ya screen deke khila do. Get it to eat. Now, I'll take this example and hope this will open up a lot of stuff for even people who will be listening to this. Is eating. So eating, breathing, and water. So food, water, and air. These are three survival needs, right? Even a newborn child who doesn't understand anything will cry for these. Breathing is automatic. If you don't get water, they'll cry. If they don't get food, they'll cry. So even there, it's not cognitive. It's not thinking. It's my bodily need. It need comes from nature that I will seek it, right? So whose need is it to eat? Yours or the child's? But 99.99% parents have made it their need that I have to feed. And if you made it your need, your job, then it's your job. I'll tell you simple. Even a 2 year old, when you're having food at the table, lay a separate plate for them. Say, this is your food. Eat it or leave it. If you don't want to eat it, go sleep. What do you think will happen?
If the child is throwing a tantrum the first day,
they will throw a tantrum. Oh, tantrum they will also. Yeah. Not a tantrum. You go to your own house, your dad will be throwing a tantrum on food, right?
Everyone's throwing a tantrum food.
And that's still, at 18, he throws a tantrum. When the food doesn't have enough spice in it, he'll throw a tantrum. He's 18. Tantrum hoga.
So I do believe, I mean, because my mom has done this on me, so I know that this tactic didn't work.
It's not a belief. Literally, it's not a belief. They have to eat because it is not a cognitive behavior. It doesn't come from your brain. It's a survival instinct of a living organism. Even a plant who doesn't get sunlight moves towards the sunlight. They shift their way. They can't walk. But they will turn. You put this bit of sugar on the top of your refrigerator. The ant will find it. Just take an example. It's not your job. It's their job. Just leave it. They'll take it. And it's a guarantee they will take it. Because that's how nature is. And when you start feeding them, you actually start to go against the nature. And when you start going against nature, that's where the trouble starts. And I just took one example. So this is cuts across everything.
I have a question on this because I do see kids around me and parents struggling and kids struggling and all of that and fights happening and everyone's, you know, tempers flaring, all of that's happening. When a child is slightly older, let's say 7 or 8 or so on, right? And they still are throwing in a tantrum of what they want to eat or they don't want to eat and whatever you've made, they don't want to eat. At that age, usually they end up also having access to different things, right? So we do see them going and opening a packet of chips and eating a packet of chips or going and eating like a box of cookies and eating that and filling themselves in. So today maybe therefore the whole question of are you eating right? Are you, you know, nutrition and all of that? And are you just living on junk or, you know, the only thing that I will eat is French fries. So how do you kind of deal with it? Or is it something that needs to be built in as a habit when you're much younger?
This is everybody's question. And you're right. Everybody is struggling. specifically last 15, 20 years from the time the whole concept of junk food came in. And everywhere the advertisements and everything is about junk. Yeah? There's no advertisement of good food ever. Only about pizzas and cheese and all that. It's always like that. So a question to you and a question to every parent here. Who bought the chip home? Who bought those cookies home? And by the way, if I ask them, is it damaging for you? Everybody knows yes. Should you eat it? The answer is no. Then why are you keeping it at home? If you remember our times, what was kept at home? Yeah, the fruits were there. Home-cooked cookies were there. The matthis and the pinnies, what mom used to drink or your grandmom used to cook. Wo pade hote the. Wo nahi pade hote the. Hum doodh pi lete the. Hum bhook to lagti hai. So, kela pada, kela kha liya. Ab saamne chips pade, a chocolate pade. Now, if a chocolate is lying there, or a packet of chips is lying there, or a bottle of Coke is lying there, and you have a fruit lying there, what would you pick, yeah? Let alone a child. Your hand will go to a chips packet. A Coke bottle will give you energy like this, and you'll pick up and drink it off, and it'll be nice. You'll feel good, it'll give you energy, and you're back. Kaun ab ek anar chheelega, 15 minute lagayega, kachra phekega, haath ganda karega, chhod yaar. Don't have it. Simple. People say, oh, my child orders it from Swiggy. Who pays for it? I've been there, and my child orders from Swiggy, and this guy comes and delivers and say, paise. I say, ask him. Blacklist him, boss, if he's not paying. If you want to still give it to him for free, give it to him and go. What will he do? He'll take the money back, he'll take the stuff back, and he'll blacklist. Who needs to pay for it? Why? So you are feeding, you're providing the access of slow poison. It's not poison. It'll take time for them to spoil their health, their mental health, their physical health. It will destroy it. It'll destroy your immunity. It's destroying their immunity. It's destroying their body. It's destroying their body. There is deficiency of calcium, deficiency of this, deficiency of that. We never had it yet. Parents still don't have it. So all those will come. It's a slow poison. So you are creating an access to feed your own child with slow poison. And I'm using this line because I want people to listen to this and get scared.
So, you know, so these are some of the typical questions that even mothers in our programs ask. And I also feel, given the fact that they come back and say, you know, it takes me 1 hour to feed my child. It takes me 1 hour to put my child to sleep. And if you take all of these activities together, it takes away the whole day. What are some of the habits you think which parents have or maybe work? I don't know, because the programs, you know, we are largely focused and talking to working parents. But are the habits different for parents and non-working mothers and working mothers? Are the habits different? And what are these habits that they sometimes, you know, without realizing do, which is probably impacting both the emotional and mental well-being of their child?
So these are not habits, Lochan. These are, again, as I said, misconceptions, myths. We believe that if we do not feed our child, if we do not help them study, if we do not help them play, if we do not help them do stuff in life, they, and I'll say something very harsh and very straight to people, we think that our children were born to destroy themselves. Because if I didn't save them, then they were born to destroy themselves. And I, as a parent, has been brought up and given this beautiful responsibility by God or by that big blast theory, whatever you believe in, to save the child. I am the savior. If I am not there, they will not serve. Nothing like that. And by the way, I don't want to be sarcastic towards parents. That's what has been there for ages. Your child does not need you. Your child is only born of you. Every human being who's born is born with unlimited potential. We say that, but we don't act on that. We say my child is born with unlimited potential. But now wo khana apne aap nahi kha sakta. But now can't. Oh, he's great. He can do anything. She can be great. She's brilliant. But she can't get around. She can't study on her own. If they can do everything, what are studies all about? Yeah. Is the life you're living right now a bigger test than this 3rd, 4th, 5th, 7th, 8th, 9th class exam? It is. So if they can live life, which will be far more difficult, which will throw far more bigger exams at them versus a 2-3 year old class. So you're not a savior. They're born with that. You only are a vehicle for them to come into this world. They're born through you. They're not born they're not your property. So if you get that head off that it's my responsibility to bring them up, that is one line which every parent picks up, and every parent is doing that and does two things, spoils their own life and the child's life too. Because they are not meant, human beings were not meant to be doctored and tutored and like mothered like this.
Smothering them also.
Yeah. Well, mothering and don't take it as gender. Even fathers are mothering them if they are. So in one line, if I want to define what is your role as a parent, and if people can just follow that, it'd be brilliant. Which is your job, your only job as a parent, is to make your child responsible for their life. They need to take over. You don't need to get it done. So I can tell you, last 15, 17 years, son, daughter is 18 and son is 24. We haven't woken them up for school. We haven't asked them to take breakfast. We haven't even checked their copies, books, homework, exams, ever. He applied for his colleges. He went for. My daughter is doing it right now. She does it herself. The only thing she asked me, I said, Dad, can you afford this college? Can you pay this fees? I said, yes, go ahead. That's it. Have I checked any of her forms, any of her essays, anything? The answer is no. Has my wife done that? The answer is no. Till date. You get up, you make your own breakfast, eat it, go to school. If you don't want to, your choice. Stay back at home.
When you say that child is born through you, right? So you are the vehicle. And your role is to make the child responsible for their own life. So like in, if you see other species, they typically, the purpose is to get the offspring to become independent as soon as possible. It's effectively the same concept, but for human beings, we don't want to, we want the child to be dependent on us even when they're 50. But in that, what is the role of, let's say, the community and support system, especially in today's time when families are becoming more and more nuclear? There are also cases where there are single parents who are raising the child for either out of choice or not out of choice. So what is the role of community, and who could be these people, if not a natural family, who could be these people who could be part of that community?
No, we don't have a choice there. We don't have a choice of community, specifically right now. Because one of the things that you may start saying, which you have zero control over, and right now, which is parenting the maximum. Yes?
Are you referring to like social media and the internet? Okay.
And it's increasing. You have a question about parenting? You Google. You Google. You, your child has a question about math, science, social sciences, friends, boyfriend, sex, alcohol. They Google. That's become the biggest parent. You can't choose it. So there was an age-old saying, and it's still true, that it takes a village to raise a child. And what does that village constitute of? Let's first get, what is that village? You, the parents, the siblings, the domestic support, the school, the teachers, the friends, the parents of their friends, your neighborhood, the thought behind your country, your thoughts of whatever is happening around, your relatives, your parents, your spouse's parents, your relatives, your friends who you meet and they're with them. So when you go out with your friends, they are together. Plus the social media, the internet, the Netflix and the Sony Lives and the Amazons and the Hotstars and everything. The advertisements. Every advertisement is projecting the child there. Whether you're buying a car or a paint or whatever. Even those are impacting your child's development. Can you manage all that? The cartoons they watch. The animes they watch. They learn their thoughts from there, their values from there, their language from there, everything. Right? So first, let's get that. The enormity of that village I'm talking about. And all of that is impacting your child. Now, can you manage it? The answer is no. There is a driver ferrying your child from here to here. His communication with the driver is parenting him. The driver doesn't follow traffic routes. That's getting impacted. Driver uses language. That's impacting him. What do you do? So, one, it's all of it. The primary role, if you really ask me, even if it's a single parent, or even if it's a caregiver, if a child is in an orphanage, for example, the primary roles come for that primary caregiver, whether it could be a single mother, a single father, or both of them, or maybe parents are not there, grandparents are raising them. The impact that primary caregiver has is humongous. Now, for example, my child is watching some series. Now, there could be great things coming from there, could be bad things coming from there. What if I just watch it again with him, maybe one, or maybe not even watch it, have a chat with him or her. I said, you were watching this. How was it? Tell me the story. Talk about it. And you don't need time for it, by the way. You can do this while you're getting them ready for school in the morning, or maybe dropping them to school, or just anywhere. You're going for a daily chore and they're with you. You can just do a chat. Say, a series. Understand what they're getting out of it. Share your views about it. And that's a beautiful communication which is happening about, okay, what have you picked up? What is your thought development? Okay, this is what I think. And then having a conversation, okay, why is this a view, this a better view, that a better view, this is an empowering view, this is a disempowering view. And having that discussion, it's a 5-minute discussion, 10-minute discussion. And a parent will only get a time to do these discussions. If they stop talking about homework, ho gaya, khana kha liya, so gaya, pad liya, ye chodoge to aayega. So you can't control the village. It's impossible. But you can definitely control the inputs which are going in because you're discussing about it. One thing which I keep telling parents is that stop talking about mundane stuff. Yeah. They don't need you for their eating, sleeping, getting up, food, khana, padhai, chod do ye. Let's talk about real stuff in life. Yeah.
Which is impacting their thinking, their values, their perspectives, everything which is impacting. And what we also see is a lot of parents struggle with the fact that their children don't come and share things with them because the focus is always on like other factors which are probably more important, or in their mind it has been more important. And they realize that much later when the child is 15, 16, when they're completely shut, you know, or shut in or, you know, have shut them out in the process. You know, I mean, I've very, 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 very interesting conversation. And I would love to like kind of have a longer session and conversation with you and maybe even get some of my, you know, myths answered. But going back to the myths, I know you spoke about two myths specifically, but when you do, you know, when you talk to parents, are there like some top 3-4 myths that you tell them these are myths and we need to bust them or we need to think of them differently?
So there are lots of them. But yes, the only game is about how do you break these myths. Or parents say, "Acha, bacha chota bhi samjhega nahi." Another big one. Be angry, be in a bad mood, like a bad, foul mood. When you're upset with somebody, you abuse somebody, you're angry, you're full of anger. Then go and try and pick up your own child who's 3 months old. And you're in a bad mood completely. And you just pick them up, 3 months old. What do you think will happen? The child will cry. They will not come to your lap. Why? You didn't even speak. Your aura and your vibes have gone. And at that age, they can pick that up like this. They know that I can't go onto this child's, this person's lap. I need to go here. They will cry in that lap. And the minute somebody who picks them up with complete love and care, they'll shut up. They'll ease up. So, So my child won't understand. Have you tried it? Or you assume? So there are tons like this. The first thing which I started doing for my own. So the book which we wrote about perfect parenting. Originally, the book's name was Learning from Your Child. It's a parenting book with the title Learning from Your Child. And I can tell you that's where my life altered when I became a parent. I suddenly realized that I don't need to teach him. I need to learn from him. A newborn child, I won't say newborn because you can't see all that stuff, but a child about 2.5-3-year-old, if you see 2.5-3-year-old child running around, children running around anywhere, they could be in an orphanage, they could be anywhere in the world, they're happy. You look at an adult, they're all stressed. All of them. So learn to be happy from them. They express themselves. If they're angry, they'll say it out. If they're happy, they'll say it out. If they want to cry, they'll cry it out. They won't hide their feelings. They won't hide themselves behind a mask. What are adults doing? Always masking themselves. I don't want to be with you, but I will say, "Hi, Lochan, how are you?" And inside I'm saying, "Get lost." A child will come to your face and say, "Auntie, get lost." Yeah, dismissed. So they are fully expressed. They are very happy. They want something, they don't give it up. If you don't give it to them, they'll go to anybody and make it happen. They're full of love and care. They will go and give their food to a dog on the road. So much of love and care in them. They will be playing together and they will fight with each other. And 10 minutes later, they'll be playing with each other. We have a fight with somebody. We will swear that next time, all my life, next 5 lives, I will not talk to you. And that could be my wife. That could be my brother. We cut them off for life. You should learn from them. They have life. You don't. So reverse the order. And then, and I'm just talking about 4-5 elements. There are far many more elements, which if you just turn it around and say, okay, fine, let me learn from them.
Let me learn from a child, not just even mine, you know. So
apne se seekho bhi kaafi.
No, no, I mean, apna nahi hai to kisi aur ki bachche se bhi seekh sakte
ho. Learn from a child. Absolutely, yeah. And I'll give you a small incident, okay? I opened up my life like crazy. So I was teaching Aman how to crawl. And everybody does it like this, okay? Aake crawling sikhana hai na bachche ko. So there used to be at that point of time, we used to, even that we used to use those rattlers. Parents don't use rattlers anymore. They use the phone. And then this is a phone pair. Yeah, rattler use karo na, phone ke use karo. Sasta bhi hai. So I used to keep a rattler. He used to take 2-3-4 minutes, force himself, somehow reach the rattler. And then I used to pick up the rattler and put it another 5 inches away from him. He used to do this again and then pick it up again. And he used to laugh at me, like he would smile at me. And do it again. And 5 minutes later, I realized he's doing all the effort. And the 2-month-old takes a lot of effort to do that, even few inches. He is making such a big effort and reaching his place, what he wants. And I'm removing it. And he's smiling at me. And he's also not giving it up. He's doing it again. I said, do this to an adult.
Second time, you'll be like beating him up for removing that reward.
He will beat him up and bhaag gaya, mujhe nahi chahiye. Rakh apne paas. You need to learn how not to give up in your life from that 3-month-old child, not from an adult. Don't go to gurus and say, how do I learn to not give up? Bullshit. Go to a 3-month-old. It's natural. They're there. Those small young children who do not have anything to eat are standing on the streets begging. They come to you and beg. You say, get lost. They come back again. They hear no 500 times, but do they give up? Learn from them how not to give up. So I think I broke a few 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 minutes right now. So there are tons of them. There are tons. This is a never-ending list.
So speaking of learning, and this will be my last question to you, saying, is, and I know you're, I won't say you're full of advices or any of that, because that just goes away with the concept of coaching in itself. But if there is like something that you can share as a lesson or a perspective to young parents, working parents, women especially, who are on that journey and saying, oh my God, do I need to like let go of my life and career? Or parents who are feeling anxious, all of these categories of people, if there is one perspective that you would want to share with them.
So when you become a parent, would anxieties come when your child falls? Will you be hurt? Will you feel the hurt? The answer is yes. When somebody says something to your child or you for your upbringing, will it be devastating? The answer is yes. Will you feel all that stuff? Stressed, depressed, frustrated, anxiety, helpless. Tell yourself that it's okay to feel like that. It's absolutely normal. Having a child is like seeing your heart running outside your body. So seeing that the most delicate part of your life, of your body, and the most important part of your body is running outside your body. Girna jaye, kuch hona jaye, you're anxious all the time. And that anxiety will not go anywhere. The good news is it will not go anywhere. Don't do anything about it. Be with it. The only day it will go will when you leave Earth. Before that, it's not going to go. Even on the last day, on the last minute of your life, you will tell your child, take care of yourself. So when you feel all that stuff, just make it normal, that make it okay for yourself, that it's okay to go through this. And there is a way out. You don't have to compromise for anything in your life. Even if you sit back and think about it, okay, if I'm not ready to compromise, I don't want to compromise. How can I do both? How can my child have a great life and I can have a great life and my family can have a great life? All of it is possible. There is a way out there. Seek. Don't give up.
Awesome. Thank you. I love the word that you're just leaving with, saying seek. So seek, you know, the skills, the information, I won't say information because it's out there, but seek the skills that's needed to manage this anxiety for as long as you're alive. And thank you. That was amazing. I love this conversation, Sushant. Thank you so much for this. Very different perspectives. interesting perspectives, a lot of my own myths broken in the process as well. And a lot of concerns are also which we hear from other women, mothers especially. Our endeavor, of course, is to ensure that we support them as much as possible so that their careers remain uninterrupted throughout their life, if they choose to. But that's where we really are here, and that's what we want to do. And very, very happy that we could have this conversation with you and bring that perspective in for them as well.
And thanks for doing this and taking it away. And let's see if the more people we can reach to and impact. It's about women, it's about their families, it's about children. You'll find Parvarish always ready for that anytime.
Absolutely. Thank you so much. Here's to ensuring more careers remain uninterrupted. And thank you so much for this conversation, Sushant. Lovely having you here.